Okay, we're going to start here about 14 lines down on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the Braita that has the difference of opinions about what we consider Mashkim in terms of whether they're Mekabel Tumah, whether they convey Tumah. The last opinions that are mentioned in that Braita are the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. That's what the Gemara is discussing here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lochlim Tmeim, Lekelim Torim. As far as liquids are concerned, for Ochlim, for food items, they are tmeim. They can convey tumah to food items. Lekelim torim. As far as utensils are concerned, they cannot convey tumah. So we've discussed yesterday Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Now the Gemara is really going to focus in on Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Amar Rabba Barchan, Amar Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yossi b'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabo Amra. That Rabbi Yossi subscribes to the position of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. We know that Rabbi Akiva has five major talmidim who become basically the Stam Tanaim that are found throughout Shas. And Rabbi Yossi is one of those Talmidim. So Rabbi Yossi is ascribing to the position of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, which is the Dorish. The drasha that he has, which is Yitma Yitamei. Yitma means that it becomes Tamei. Yitamei means that it will convey Tumah. And basically, the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see this in 1 second, is that the Torah could have simply used the word Tamei. It wanted to tell you that something is Tamei. It should have used the word Tameh. Instead, the Torah uses the word Yitma. So Rabbi Akiva darshans from the fact that the Torah did not use the word Tameh, but rather used the word Yitma, that Yitma doesn't simply mean that it accepts Tuma, or that it's able to be Mikabel Tuma, but rather that it's also able to be Yitameh. It can convey Tuma going forward. So that is the way that Rabbi Akiva darshans the word Yitma. And then, based on that, it's none. We have a Mishnah. Bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva. On that day, Rabbi Akiva was doresh. That day, as we know from the Gemara in Brachot, anywhere we find bo bayom in Shas, it means on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be the Nasi, and the gate or the doors of the Beit Midrash were opened, and everybody was there, and therefore there were many things that were said, or many Divrei Torah were said, because of the fact that everyone was present. Now, he quotes the Pasuk, which is found in Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Vayikra, which is Vechol Kli Cheres. Asher yipol mehem el tocho, kol asher betocho yitma, v'oto tishboru. So any kli cheres, any earthenware utensil, asher yipol mehem, that will fall from them. From them means the shratzim that we're talking about. If they fall inside of it, then kol asher betocho, anything found inside of this utensil will be, the pasuk could have said tamei. Anything that's found inside of there will also be tamei. Rather, the pasuk says yitma. Eino omer tamei, it doesn't use the simple word tamei, but rather el yitma. So what does Yitma come to teach us? That Yitamei Acherim tells you that not only is it make something Tamei, it allows that object to convey Tuma forward. Limeda al Kikar Sheni, that comes to teach you that a Kikar, a loaf of bread that is a Sheni Lituma, Shoseh Shlishi B'chulin, that makes a third level of Tuma in Chulin. Until now we've worked with the assumption, which is the assumption of the Rabbanon and most of the Tanaim, which is that by Chulin, Sheni, the second derivative of Tuma, is the lowest level you can go in Chulin. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva here from this Pasuk now is Doresh, that you can actually have a third level of Tuma. And that is because Kli Cheres, an earthenware utensil, has a unique status within the Dinim of Tuma, which is that it's Mitameh Me'aviro, that it allows Tuma to be conveyed through its airspace. So anything that's found within the airspace of the Kli Cheres, number one, it conveys Tuma. Number two is it receives Tuma. So the example or the pasuk that we're speaking about here is, for instance, a sheretz that is inside of a Kli Cheres. And inside of that same Kli Cheres is also food items. The sheretz, which is an Ava Tuma, is found inside the Kli Cheres. It makes the Kli Cheres into a Rishon the Tuma. And then the Rishon the Tuma of the Kli Cheres now conveys that Tuma to the Ochel, to the food item that is found inside of this earthenware utensil. And again, they don't have to touch each other. They don't have to come into contact with each other. It could be simply that the sheretz is suspended in the airspace of the earthenware utensil and the food is suspended there. And the Tumah is conveyed through the airspace of the Kli Cheres. What I have here is a Sheretz that's an Ava Tumah, Kli Cheres that's a Rishon the Tumah, and then the Ochel, which is found inside of it, that is now a Sheni the Tumah. That description of the Ochel, the food item that becomes a Sheni Tumah, is described by this, Kol Asher Betocho, anything found inside of it, Yitma, will become Tameh. Now again, it could have said Tameh, and it doesn't use the word Tameh, but rather uses the word Yitma. Rabbi Akiva learns from that Yitma means, not only does it accept Tumah, it conveys Tumah. So now you have an Ochel inside of this Kli Cheres that's a Sheni the Tumah and has the ability to convey Tumah within Chulin. That means that a Sheni, Oseh Shlishi, that Ochel, which is a Sheni the Tumah, can now convey Tumah forward and make a Shlishi the Tumah within Chulin. So that is the Drosho of Rabbi Akiva. V'hocho. In our case over here, with regards to Rabbi Yossi, Echi Dorish. What is the drush over here that we're saying that Rabbi Yossi is subscribing to the position of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe? And that is because if you continue in the Psukim, it says in the subsequent Pasuk, Mikola Ochel, Asher Ye Achel, Asher Yevo Alav Maim, Yitma. Bechol Mashke, Asher Yishate, Bechol Kli, Yitma. So here in the subsequent Pasuk, I have the word Yitma appears twice. And this is the drusha that Rabbi Yossi is going to use. It says, Bechol Mashke, Asher Yishate, Bechol Kli, Yitma. So any liquid that is found within the utensil is tamei. Again, tamei, yitma, is not just simply going to mean that it can receive tuma, but also that it can convey tuma, and that is yitamei. The tamei, tuma tochlim. That liquid now can convey tuma to a solid item, to an ochel. Ata omer le tamei tuma tochlim. You're saying that it can convey tuma forward to a solid item, to a piece of food. Oino le tamei tumat mashkim. Maybe it can pass that tuma to another liquid. Amart lo kach haya. You said that that can't be. Amar says, my lo kach haya. What does it mean that can't be? Amar apopo lo matzinu tuma shose ki yotze ba. It's because we have a principle that tuma cannot be conveyed to something that's in a similar category. Where we know that from? Rashi says we know it from the upcoming Gemara. The subsequent Gemara is going to tell us that din, which is that when it comes to this word yitma, you have three choices here of what could have been written. It could have been the word tameh, which would have told us that the object is tameh. You could have written yitameh. That tells us that not only is the object tameh, but it also conveys tuma for it. Obviously, if it conveys tuma, it's also tameh itself. Or you can have what we actually have in the Torah, which is yitma. And so, based on that, Rashi says we actually learn two things out of the word yitma. Number one, we learn out yitameh, that it conveys tuma forward. But since it didn't write yitameh and wrote yitma, we also learn out this din that something is tameh, but it cannot be oseh kayotze bo. It cannot replicate itself, meaning that it cannot create tuma for something that's similar to it. Now that's something that we saw before at the beginning of the Gemara with Rochanina Skana Kohanim, which is the principle of ein ochel metame ochel. Now ochel cannot convey tuma to another ochel, and the same is true by a mashke. A liquid cannot be metameh another liquid. Over there, we actually learned it out of another pasuk, and that's the pasuk that Tosafot quotes over here as being the source for this din that we just said, which is the pasuk says, "V'chi yutan mayim al zera nafal miniv latam alav tamei hu lachem." The Gemara darshan from there, tamei hu tamei ve'ein oseh kiyotze bo tamei, that it itself is tamei, but it cannot make something similar to itself tamei. And from that, we learn that ochel cannot convey tuma to ochel, or mashke cannot convey tuma to mashke. So because of that, once I have the word yitma, I have a liquid that became tamei and is now able to convey tuma going forward. Now, if it's conveying tuma going forward, what it can't do is convey that tuma to another liquid. So it must be that the tuma that it's conveying forward is to an ochel. And that was the conclusion here of the Gemara. Ko mashke, ashe yishate b'chol kli yitma, that means yitame l'tamei tuma tochlim. That liquid that is now to make can convey tuma to an ochel going forward. So that's the limud that we have here from the pasuk according to Rabbi Yossi, and that tells us that din, that mashkim can convey tuma going forward to ochel. They can't convey tuma to a kli, because a kli requires something to be an ava tuma in order to make it to a rishon the tuma at minimum, and that's not what you have over here. So it can convey it to ochel, but it cannot convey that tuma to a kli. And that is the position of Rabbi Yossi based on the sheet of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, that he darshens the word yitma to mean yitame. Ravina amar, migufe dekra, nami lo matzit amar. You can't, from the pasuk itself, you can't say it, because it says yitma, and the yitma is yitame, letame tumat mashkim. The isakadat ho yitma, the seifo. The pasuk actually has the word yitma that appears twice. Because, as I read before, the first part says, Mikol ha'ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim yitma. So you have yitma in the first half of the pasuk with reference to food substances, food items that become tameh. And then you have the second half of the pasuk which says, V'chol mashke asher yishate v'chol kli yitma. So now, if you want to say the word yitma means yitameh, that it conveys tuma to mashkim, then I would have an instance here where the ratio of the pasuk conveys tuma to mashkim. That means ochel can convey tuma to mashkim. And the latter half of the pasuk says that I convey tuma to mashkim as well. If that's the case, that you're going to darshan it to mean letamei tuma to mashkim, yitma de ratio nami letamei tuma to mashkim. And the yitma of the ratio of the earlier part of the pasuk is also to give off or to convey tuma to mashkim. Nervinu v'nichtavinu. Put them together and make it into a single statement, which would be mikol ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim. Then you have to write the word yitma once. And that yitma would teach you that you convey tuma to liquids. Tre yitma lomali. Why do I need a yitma that's associated with food items? And why do I need a yitma that's associated with liquids? Why do I need the word yitma to appear twice in the pasuk? Both times meaning in the drasha, yitma means yitame, it'll convey tuma. That is because the yitame of each one of these, or the conveyance of tuma in each one of these, is different. And that is ela yitma deresha. The yitma of the resha, which means yitame, it'll convey tuma, is the tame tumat mashkim. Because in the resha, the first half of the pasuk, it's speaking about an ochel, speaking about a food item. That food item can then convey tuma to a mashke. Yitma de seifa. The yitma and the seifa, which means yitame, convey tuma forward, is the tame tuma tochlim. The latter half of the pasuk, which is speaking about a liquid, that liquid can convey tuma to an ochel. And that is why you need them to be different. Different because if you made either one of them the same, then you could write yitma once in the pasuk and it have the same meaning in the resha and the seifa. The fact that you have the resha of the pasuk and the seifa, each one of them independently have the word yitma appear, tells you that the word yitma must mean something different in each of these cases. And the answer is that it means something different, which is that in the case of ochel, it's conveying tuma to a mashke. In the case of mashke, it's conveying tuma to an ochel. So that's how Ravina learns it out, versus what we saw from Rav Papa before. But both of them basically have the same principle within Rabbi Yossi, which is that the word yitma, like Rabbi Akiva, means not only yitma, but yitame conveys tuma. And that conveyance of tuma applies to the mashke that's found in the pasuk. And the mashkeh can convey tuma forward to an ochel. And that's how we have the principle of Rabbi Yossi, that the mashkeh will convey tuma to an ochel, though it won't convey tuma to a keli. So Gemara says, why can't it also convey tuma to kelim? It says, v'lav kal v'chomer hu. That's because it's a kal v'chomer that it cannot. Ma kli shemetameh mashkeh, a utensil that becomes tameh can make a liquid tameh. Ein metameh kli. On the other hand, that kli cannot be metame another kli. A kli that comes into contact with an avatuma is nase rishona tuma. It becomes a first level of tuma, first derivative of tuma. That kli that is now a rishona tuma, if it touches a mashke, touches a liquid, it makes that liquid tame. On the other hand, if that kli touches another kli, it cannot make the other kli tame. So now this is the kol mechomer, mashkim, habaim achmat kli, liquids that are a derivative of kli, certainly they should not be mitame kelim. If the keli itself, which is the source of the tuma, cannot be mitame another kli, then the mashke, which is a derivative of that kli, cannot be mitame a kli. The logic within that silo, within that condition, works very well. The obvious question is, what happens if the mashke did not become tame through contact with that keli? So the logic works well when you have a avatuma that contacts or touches a kli. So if an avatuma that touches a kli, the kli is now a rishon to tuma. That rishon to tuma cannot affect another kli, but can affect a mashke. And then if I look at that mashke, you'll say, okay, well, if the kli that gave it its tuma cannot affect the kli, then certainly this mashke cannot affect the kli. So that works nicely. But maybe you can say this. Ve'ema, kilo mitamu mashkim abayim achmat kli. You're right. If the source of tuma was a kli, and that kli conveyed the tuma to a mashke, again, meaning you have an avatuma that touched a kli that was a rishon to tuma that touched a mashke that became a sheni l'tuma, I understand that that mashke cannot be metameh kli because its source, the kli itself, could not be metameh kli. Aval mashkim abim machmat sheret. What happens if we skip the kli altogether? And the liquid came directly into contact with the avatuma. Now the liquid is a derivative of the sheretz. The sheretz is an avatuma. The liquid is now rishon l'tuma. Hachanami demetamu. Maybe in that case it could convey tuma to a kli. Who says you don't have the kal v'chomer anymore? There's no kli involved in this picture. I don't have a kal v'chomer. So in that instance, how do I know that the mashke, the liquid that got its tumah directly from the sheretz, cannot be metameh kli? So mashkim abamayim machmat sheretz miktive. It says, very simple. Liquids that accept tumah from a sheretz is not an explicit pasuk. Liquids that get tumah from a kli, that is found in the pasuk. But the fact that liquids accept tumah from a sheretz, from an avatuma directly, that is not explicit in the pasuk, but rather the result of V'lav mikal v'chomer ati. That itself comes from a kal v'chomer, which is Uma mashkim habayim machmat kli mitamim. The source for it is actually liquids that become tamei through a kli. That means you have a sheretz that touches a kli that touches a liquid. Sheretz is an avatuma, kli is a rishon atuma, the mashke is a sheni tuma. So if that is true and such a mashke becomes tamei, then we can say kal v'chomer. Uma mashkim habayim machmat kli mitamim, mashkim habayim machmat sheretz. If the liquid became tamei directly from the sheretz, kolo koshekein, certainly it should become tamei. So how do we know that a liquid that comes into contact with the sheretz is tamei That is because we know that a liquid that comes into contact with the kli that came into contact with the sheretz is tamei. So that's the kal v'chomer. And why does that solve our problem? Because of a principle called dayo levo min adin liot kinidon. We have a principle by a kal v'chomer, which uses a logical process which says something that is more lenient. If what is said about the more lenient thing is true, then certainly it should be true about the more stringent item. One of the principles we have with a kal v'chomer is dayo levo min adin liot kinidon. If you're learning such a kal v'chomer from the lenient to the more stringent, then the more stringent can't be more stringent than the lenient that you're learning from. Which means that if I'm learning something out of kli that came from a sheretz that's now giving tumah to a mashke, and now I say from that I know that a mashke, a liquid that came directly from a sheretz is tameh, it cannot have principles that are different than the liquid that was a derivative of the kli. Because its source is the liquid that was a derivative of a kli. And so all it can do is make it equal to that. It cannot make it better than that. Kal v'chomer says, I can be equal to my source. I cannot be better than my source. Because that's the logic. The logic is, if I have something that is lenient and it's something stringent, I take the rules that I find by the lenient and I say I can equally apply them to the stringent. By that means, equally apply them. I cannot then say, oh, well, if something's true about the lenient, then by the stringent one, it should be even more stringent. That doesn't work in a kal v'chomer, and that's that principle of dayo. It's enough. Enough means you can learn exactly what you know from the source. And over here, the source is a case of sheretz to kli to liquid. In that case of that liquid, which is a sheni the tumah, is the source for the fact that a liquid that comes directly from a sheretz is also tameh, even though it's a rishon the tumah here. So the sheni the tumah is the source for the rishon the tumah. And just like the sheni the tumah, it's tameh, yes, but it cannot convey tumah to a keli. So same thing here, but the more stringent liquid which came directly into contact with the sheretz, if the source is the liquid that came through a keli, then it can't be better than that. And that sheni can't convey tumah to a keli. So if that's the case, then even a liquid that came directly from a sheretz cannot convey tumah to a keli. And that's how we know that liquids cannot convey tumah to kelim, and that's the position of Rabbi Yossi. Even though liquids can convey tumah to ochlim, they cannot convey tumah to a keli. And that starts with a kal v'chomer from kli itself. And then once we have that, it now can be extrapolated to the case of liquids that come directly from a sheretz. Because the fact that liquids coming directly from a sheretz are tameh is only a derivative, only a kal v'chomer from the fact that liquids that came from a kli that came from a sheretz are tameh. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, very good. Itma dereisha heichi dorish. What are you going to do with the itma in the beginning of the pasuk? What we've said so far is, we have Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Akiva's position is that by kol kli cheres asher yibo mehem el tocho kol asher betocho yitma oto tishbo, that yitma means yitameh. That means that the object, the sheni that was found inside of this earthenware utensil, can pass on tumah to ashlishi. Now we have Rabbi Yossi's position. Rabbi Yossi's position here is about liquids. The liquids that are found in the subsequent pasuk is kol mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. So that yitma also means yitameh. So liquids not only become tameh, but they also convey tumah. And that tumah that they convey forward is a tumah to ochlim, to solid food items, to items that are food, not that are liquids, that we learn out from Rav Papa, which is that it's a basic principle that you can't make something similar to yourself, or from Ravina, which is that the word yitma appears twice in the pasuk. Now, what do we do with the yitma in the beginning of this pasuk? Being the pasuk says, Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel asher yavo alav mayim yitma. What do we do with that yitma? So Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel yavo alav mayim yitma yitameh. So again, well, darshan yitma means yitame can convey tuma forward. The tame et hamashkim, it can convey tuma to liquids. Because it's an ochel, it can convey tuma to liquids. Atah omer le tame et hamashkim, moinu ele tame et hakeli. How do I know that it's going to convey tuma to mashkim and not convey tuma to a keli? Truth is, the Gemara could ask the same question that it asked before, which is phrased it this way, which is, how do I know that it's mitame mashkim? Maybe it's mitame ochel. So what the Gemara did here is it short-circuited the whole thing that it did before. Before, we already started like this. We said, okay, how do you know that the liquid is metame en ochel? Maybe it was metame en mashke. So the Gemara said, okay, no, you can't do that because you can't be peyotze bo. Then after it said that, it said, how do you know that the liquid can be metame en ochel and not metame a kli? So here, the Gemara jumps the thing and gun and says, let's just go straight to kli and figure it out. You could have asked, again, in two stages. You could ask first from ochel, and then ask from kli. So instead, the Gemara just jumps to kli and goes to the latter part of the question previously, which is basically getting to the bottom line. What's the bottom line here? Which is, Ata omer letameh to mashkim, you think this ochel can be metameh mashkim? Oino letameh to kli. Maybe it's here to make kli. Amart, kal v'chomer. Uma mashkeh shemetameh ochel, a liquid that can be metame an ochel, einu metame kli. That's what we learned from the latter half of the pasuk, which is that mashkim, liquids that become tame, they can convey tuma forward to an ochel, but they cannot be metame kli. Ochel, she'einu metame ochel, ochel which cannot be metame ochel similar to itself, einu din shelo itame kli, certainly it should not be metame kli. How do we know that ochel is not metame ochel? That, again, we discussed with regards to Rashi and Tosafot's opinion. Rashi says we learn out of the fact that the word yitma is used here instead of yitame. Tosafot says it comes from the pasuk later on, which is tamehu. That's tamehu, ve'enu yoseh kiyotze bo. So Gemara says, ha ma ani mekayim. So then, how do I explain this? Yitma means yitame, letame et amashkim, she'en olim lekabel tuma. So that is that the yitame here of ochel is it conveying tuma to mashkim, that are alulim lekabel tuma, is because they are receptive, they are apt to be mikabel tuma. The reason the Gemara said this, or the reason the Gemara is setting this up this way, is because otherwise the kav v'chomer that we just established isn't so straightforward. Because you could have broken up the kav v'chomer. The kav v'chomer says a mashke, a liquid, can be metame ochel, and it cannot be metame akli. And then I said ochel, food items, cannot be metame ochel. They cannot be mitame another food item, so certainly should not be able to be mitame kli. That was the kavachomer we just learned. But the truth is that an ochel can be mitame mashke. An ochel can convey tuma to a liquid, which a liquid can't do. A mashke cannot convey tuma to a liquid. And that would undermine our whole kavachomer, because the fact that a ochel can convey to a mashke makes it different, or maybe even more stringent than a mashke itself, because the mashke itself cannot convey tuma to another mashke. So the Gemara already preempts that, or answers that problem by saying, you know why ochel can be mitameh mashke? It's not because ochel is more chamor. It's not because ochel is more stringent than mashke, but rather because mashke is more susceptible to tuma. And since mashke is more susceptible to tuma, that's why ochel is mitameh mashke. So my iria mashkim, mishum da'alulim lekabel tuma. Why is it that mashkim, the reason that they bekabel tuma is because they are more susceptible to tuma? Typically mishum da'leka midachrina. Let's say there's no other choice. What is this ochel going to be mitameh over here? What are your choices? You have three choices. Kli, ochel, mashke. Kli, we already said, doesn't work. Ochel itself can't work because it's kiyotze bo. So what are you left with is mashke. Mashke is the only choice you have for what it can convey tuma to. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar. Let me explain to you. And this is what they're going to say, what I just explained to you, which is v'chi teima ochel chamur dimitameh mashkim. Maybe you want to suggest here that ochel is more chamur than mashke because it's mitameh mashke, which a mashke can't do. Therefore, nitmeh l'kli. Therefore, it should be able to convey tuma to a kli. Hau chumra d'mashkimu. The reason that ochel can be mitameh mashkim is not because ochel is more chamur, but rather because mashke is more chamur. Because liquids are more chamur. What's the chumra? Mishum d'mashkim alulim l'kabel tuma. Because liquids are more susceptible to maybe kabel tuma. And that's what's making the conveyance of tuma take place here from ochel to a liquid. Not because ochel is more stringent or a higher level, but rather because the tuma of mashke is a higher level. Why is it a higher level? Because it's susceptible to tuma. Ma hui alilatam shemekablim tuma. What is this idea that they are more susceptible to tuma? Shelo behechsher. Because they're mekabel tuma without any hechsher. So the difference between food items and liquids is food items, based on the pasuk, which is v'chiyutan mayam al zera, that food items require liquids to wash them before they can be mekabel tuma. They have to be primed for tuma. The priming of tuma comes from a liquid, one of the seven liquids to pass over it, and therefore it's mukshar the kabel tuma. On the other hand, the liquid itself can be susceptible or accept tuma without any hechsher because it is a liquid. So you don't need any hechsher by liquids. So that is why the liquid has susceptibility to tuma, and that susceptibility to tuma makes it more chamur. And the reason that ochel can convey tuma to a mashke, it's not because ochel is stronger, but because mashke, we'll call it quote-unquote, is stronger, but really means weaker. It's more susceptible to tuma. So now, Amara says, yitma, or yitame, is the enosek yotze ba. So we learn out from the word yitma that it cannot create something similar to it. That's what the Gemara said on the previous amud, which is that the word yitma means two things. That's what the Bach, if you look in the Bach here in Ot Aleph, he helps to explain that, which Rashi says over here, which is, the Torah, again, had three choices about what to write. It could have written the word tamei, could have written the word yitame, or could have written the word yitma. Tamei would have told me that this object accepts tuma. The word yitameh would tell me that not only does it accept tumah, it also conveys tumah. The Torah picked a third choice, which is yitma. The fact that it picked the third choice teaches me two dinim. One is that yitma teaches me that it's yitameh, because it's spelled in the same way. And yitma also teaches me not only is it yitameh, but also it's not osek yotze bo. It cannot make tumah to something that's similar to it. So that's what are the two limudim you learn out from the word yitma. One is yitameh, and number two is that it's tamehu ve'en osek yotze bo. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says mehalcha nafka. This is where we learn it from. Mehaltam nachva. We learn it from this other limud which we saw before again, which is v'chi yutan mayim al zera. And afal mi levatam alav tamehu. What does tamehu mean? Hu tamei ve'en osek tumah kiyotze ba. It is tamei, but it doesn't make something similar to a tamei. So now I have two limudim in the Torah and Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph that are teaching me the same din, which is an object can't make the same object tamei. Ochel can make ochel tamei, and mashke cannot make mashke tamei. Gemara says here, why do I have it mentioned twice? That's because chad b'mashkim abayim machmat sheretz. One is coming to teach me the case where you have the liquids garnering their tuma from a sheretz, from an avatuma. Chad mashkim abayim machmat kli. Another case is where the liquids got their tuma through something that interceded, was intermediary, which is the sheretz touched the kli, and then the kli touched the mashke. The Gemara says b'tzrichi, and I need both of these instances. So the first instance, which is the case of yitma, that's a case where it went through a kli, because that's the case over there. The case where it got it directly from the sheretz is a case, the latter case, which is the chiyutan mayel mazera v'nafal min levatam alav. That's that the water washed it, and then a nevela fell on it, tamehu lachem. That's direct contact with the sheretz. So I have the one pasuk telling me that when I have direct contact from a sheretz, that mashke, even though it's tamei, and can convey tuma, it can only convey tuma to ochel, it cannot convey to mashke, because you cannot convey tuma to giyotze bo, to something that's similar to it. And the pasuk of yitma, instead of writing yitamei, teaches me that a mashke, a liquid, that came into contact with a kli, that came into contact with a sheretz, that's tamei, and can convey tuma, can only convey tuma to an ochel, not to something that's giyotze bo. Now, why do I need both of them? If you only taught me about the case by a kli, which is sheretz touches a kli and a kli touches a mashke, because that's a sheni l'tumah. If the liquids came directly into contact with the sheretz is an avatumah, now the liquid is a rishon l'tumah, maybe over there I would say that it could convey tumah to another liquid. Maybe Amos said tumah ki yotzeba. It could do such a thing. So that's why the second pasuk teaches me, even when it's in direct contact with the sheretz, it cannot convey tumah to another mashke. So Gemara says, okay, that's simple then. V'leshmeinan mashkin abayim machmat sheretz. Just tell me the second pasuk, which talks about direct contact with the sheretz. V'koshke mashkim abayim machmat kli. If a rishon l'tumah b'mashkim cannot convey tumah to another mashke, then certainly a sheni tumah b'mashkim cannot convey tumah to another mashke. And I only need one pasuk. What do I need both of them for? So Gemara here, you have to say they have this b'misora, otherwise it's random how you would apply this, which is milta da'achi b'kavachomer tarach v'katav lakra. True, you could have learned it out of a kavachomer, but the pasuk went out of its way to teach you something you could otherwise learn logically. You could have learned it out of a kavachomer. Again, this answer can be given in any case you have a kavachomer, that the pasuk wrote it anyway. So obviously they have to have a misora when to apply this, that here, despite the fact that you could have learned it from a logical argument of a kavachomer, if I know that liquids that are derivatives of a sheretz, ava tuma to a rishon tuma, if that's the case, and they cannot pass that tuma to another liquid, then certainly a case where you have a sheretz, ava tuma, touching a kli, rishon tuma, touching liquids that are sheni tuma, they certainly cannot pass on to a liquid. I wouldn't need both pesukim, I only need one pasuk. The Gemara says that even though it's ati v'kavachomer, tarach v'katav lakra, even though you could have learned it from a logical argument, the Torah went out of its way to write it anyway. Alright, so now the Gemara moves on. Amale Ravina the Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Vaha Amar Rava, didn't Rava say, Lo Rabbi Yossi Savar Ki Rabbi Akiva, Lo Rabbi Akiva Savar Ki Rabbi Yossi? This kind of ruins this whole party that we just had over here, which is that the whole premise of Rabbi Yossi's position is that he's a derivative of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva taught, Itma means Yitameh. So now Rabbi Yossi went ahead and took that drosha that Rabbi Akiva used by a pasuk and now applies it to the subsequent pasuk. And it gets his whole din. The whole din that by mashkim, they're mitamei ochlim, but they're not mitamei kelim. And he learned all of that from what we just did. We just went through this whole process that all came from Rabbi Yossi being a derivative of Rabbi Akiva. Yet we have a statement from Rava that says that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva. Amalei, Rabbi Yossi b'shitah Rabbi Akiva rabo amra. You're right. Rabbi Yossi makes the statement within the position of his Rabbi Akiva, But he himself doesn't hold of that. He doesn't subscribe to that. So all Rabbi Yossi did was he extrapolated what he learned from Rabbi Akiva and said, well, if Rabbi Akiva says it here, he would also say it over here. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbi Yossi himself subscribes to that position. He's just showing you what could be from the position of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Amr le Rav Ashi le Rav Kana, Bishlama Rabbi Yossi lo Savala Rabbi Akiva. You're right. I understand where Rava got this principle or this position that Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the position of Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that? Titania. We have a brighter. Amr Rabbi Yossi, minayin the Reviva Kodesh, shehu pasul. How do I know that you can reach fourth derivative of Tumah within Kodesh? Kodesh can reach a Reviva Kodesh. Being pasul means it cannot go further. It means you get to a fourth level of Tumah, you cannot reach a fifth level of Tumah. Vidinu. It's a simple Kavachomer. Uma mechuser kipurim, shemutar betruma, pasul bekodesh, causes a problem for Kodesh, lishi, shepasul betruma, inudin, shase revi bekodesh, she make a revi in Kodesh. So this Kavachomer comes from the fact that we know that when it comes to an individual who is Tamei, an individual is Tamei who requires 7 days to become Tahor, plus to bring a Korban in order to become Tahor. It's true of a Zavag Dola, it's true of a Zav, true of a Yoledet. They require a number of items to become Tahor. The first of those items is that they require 7 clean days, and then they go to the mikveh. Once they go to the mikveh, they become what's called a tvul yom. That tvul yom is still restricted in consuming or coming into contact with truma, but they can come into contact with the maaser sheni. Once the sun sets, which is called Herev Shemesh, once the sun sets for that individual, not only can they contact or come into contact with maaser sheni, they can now eat and come into contact with truma. Yet, despite that fact, they still cannot come into contact with Kodesh. And that is because the next day, on the 8th day, they have to bring a Korban. And the Torah calls them Tamei until they bring the Korban. The Korban is mitaher them. What is it mitaher them from? It's mitaher them that now they're allowed to go into the Mikdash and come into contact with Kodesh. So that means that an individual who has gone to the mikveh, has had Herev Shemesh, as the sun set, they can eat Truma, they can come into contact with Truma, but they still are problematic in terms of coming into contact with Kodesh. They may not come into contact with Kodesh until they bring their Korban. They're what is known as a Michusar Kippurim. They're lacking their Kapara. Lacking their Kapara is because they're going to bring a Korban that's going to be Mechaper on them. So since they are lacking their Kapara, they are still have a semblance of Tuma in them. That semblance of Tuma is that they may not come into contact with Kodesh or enter into the Mikdash. So that's what Rabbi Yossi's Kavachomer is premised on, which is Uma Mechusar Kippurim Shemutar B'Truma. And Mechusar Kippurim can eat Truma. That's what we just said before. Once the sun sets, you can eat the Truma, yet Pasul B'Kodesh. They cannot come into contact with Kodesh. They would ruin Kodesh. If they come into contact with Kodesh, they are problematic. Shlishi L'Tuma. A Shlishi L'Tuma by Truma is problematic. You can get to the level of a Shlishi L'Tuma by Truma. And that is Posel. That causes a psul by the case of Truma. Eino din sheaseh revi b'kodesh? Certainly, that should create a fourth level of Kodesh. If a mechusar kippurim can eat Truma, and yet is problematic for Kodesh, then a shlishi, which is problematic within Truma, certainly it should be able to create a revi'i, or should be problematic for Kodesh. That is the kal v'chomer. Now, that kal v'chomer is problematic because you could simply say, dayo levo, min adin liot kenidon. You could simply say, and that would ruin the whole thing here. Because how could you make yourself any more? Just like by Truma, Shlishi is the last level. Shlishi is Pasul, it's not Tamei. Then when you do the Kavachomer and you extrapolate that to Kodesh, then it's true. That should make a Shlishi, but it couldn't make a Revi. And you should say Dayo. We have a principle other places in Chas that if the Dayo, you invoking the principle of Dayo ruins the Kavachomer, then we don't use that principle of Dayo. Over here, if you say Dayo, the Kohom Mechomer doesn't exist anymore. Why doesn't it exist anymore? Because I don't need Truma to teach me that there's a third level of Tuma in Kodeshim. I know that. V'lamadnu shlishi b'kodesh min haTorah. I know the third level of Tuma in Kodesh from the Torah. I don't need a Kavachomer from Truma to teach me that. So the only thing the Kavachomer from Truma could teach me is that there's a Revi b'kodesh. You're going to invoke the principle of Dayo. It can't be more stringent than the source. Well, if you do that, there's no Kavachomer left. And so that's what Rashi says. If the Dayo comes and wrecks the Kavachomer, then we don't invoke the principle of Dayo, and we allow the Kavachomer to go through, and therefore, from Truma, we can learn to Kodesh that there is actually a Revi the Kodesh. From Mechuser Kippurim, we'll learn that din. But that's how we know. Lamanu Shlishi Kodesh Min HaTorah, Vi Mikal V'Chomer. We know Shlishi Min HaTorah. How do we know there's a third level Kodesh Min HaTorah? Dichtiv, as it says, Ba Basar Asher Yiga B'Chol Tamei. Lo Ye'achel. Any Basar Kodesh that comes into contact with something that is Tamei, then Lo Ye'achel. It cannot be eaten. So that can't be eaten. What does it mean it can't be eaten? What Tumah did it come into contact with? Doesn't tell you. The Torah says it came into contact with any Tumah. What are the levels of Tumah that we know exist? We know that Tumah exists outside of in the world of Chulin up to the Sheni B'Tumah, up to a second level of Tumah. So it could be Ava Tumah, it could be a Rishon Tumah, it could be a Sheni B'Tumah. Any of these items that come into contact with the Basar Kodesh will ruin it. That means that something that was a Sheni B'Tumah will ruin Kodesh. So now we know there is a third level of Tumah by Kodesh, because by definition, if a Sheni B'Tumah, which is called Tameh, comes into contact with the Basar Kodesh, it wrecks it. So now we know there's a Shlishi Min HaTorah in Kodesh. And Ni Lo Askina Denaga B'Sheni, must be that it came into contact with the Sheni, because that's also called Tameh. And Revi B'Kal V'Chomer. And how do we know that there's a Revi B'Kal V'Chomer? Gida Amrinon. Like we said before. What has we said before? That was Rabbi Yossi's Kal V'Chomer from Mechuser Kippurim. That if by Mechuser Kippurim you can eat Truma, yet you cannot come into contact with Kodesh, then certainly a Shlishi by Truma, which is problematic, Skirreid a Revi by Kodesh should be problematic for Kodesh. And that's how we know a Revi for Kal V'Chomer. So Gemara says, V'i Salkadat Chosovak Rabbi Akiva. If you think Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Akiva, Nitnei Nami Revi'i B'Truma, then you should have at least a fourth level by Truma, V'Chamishi B'Kodesh, and a fifth level by Kodesh. Because Rabbi Akiva, we saw at the beginning of the Sugya, says that in Chulin, not only can you get to a second level of Tuma, you can even get to a third level of Tuma. That means that this pasuk v'basar asher yiga b'chol tamei, that means that that tumah could even be a shlishi the tumah. That means that a shlishi the tumah by kodesh can now make a revi the tumah. So that means revi min a Torah already by kodesh, and now you have the kal v'chomer from mechuser kibrim will make it into a chamishi the tumah. All Rabbi Akiva does is adds on an additional level of tumah. Rabbi Akiva says normally we have only up to a sheni by chulin. That's what everybody else thinks. Rabbi Akiva says no, I can even get to a shlishi by chulin. Everybody else thinks second level by Chulin, third level by Truma, fourth level by Kodesh. For Rabbi Akiva, that will be one level further in each one of them. If I can reach a third level of Tuma by Chulin, that means I can reach a fourth level by Truma, I can reach a fifth level by Kodesh. The fact that Rabbi Yossi doesn't say that, and Rabbi Yossi says that I'm talking about a third level of Kodesh and a fourth level of Kodesh, and that's the end of the game, that shows you that he does not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva's position. Because if he subscribed to Rabbi Akiva's position, he would end up with a Chamishi de Tuma by Kodesh. All right, we're going to stop over here. The Gemara is going to come back. We'll continue tomorrow with how we know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. We know now that Rabbi Yossi doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Akiva because of the fact that he doesn't end up with a fourth level of Tumah by Truma and a fifth level by Kodesh. But how do we know that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's position? We'll leave that for the Gemara tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here.